wives, they do about everything you can think of. They buy groceries, they prepare meals, they do dishes, they wash clothes, they fold the laundry, they return it to its place, they clean the home, they bake, they take care of the children, they bathe them, they clothe them, they take them to their events, they go shopping for the needs of the family, they find deals. What don't they do?
If you wanted to destroy an automobile, you wouldn't slash the tires or bust the windshield. You would sabotage the engine. Hi, I'm Dave Dino. You know, the family unit is the engine that makes the world machine run. Little wonder that undermining the marriage relationship is Satan's primary aim. Now, how do we guard against the schemes of the enemy and build solid, healthy marriages? We'll find out on today's edition of The Tide. Before we get started, though, let's join Pastor Dwayne Pottinger and our director, Don Schenck, for a brief discussion about the marriage relationship.
Dwayne, last week you shared with us some steps we can take to revive a marriage that's heading down the stairs, potentially towards a divorce. And now, this week, you're going to share with us how we can guard that marriage once we get it back up to the top of the stairs where we want it to be. But before you do that, let me ask you, if you were to point out one thing, what would you say would be the single greatest key to rebuilding and strengthening the marriage relationship?
I can respond pretty quickly to that one, Don. I think the most critical key to a marriage, a healthy marriage, is individual spiritual life, a personal spiritual life with Jesus Christ. When we come together in relationship, we only can give or we bring to that relationship what we have. And if we have not found forgiveness, we can't give it. If we haven't found love, we can't give love. We end up giving out of our emptiness, and it doesn't thrive. So the first step, the most important thing, is each individual pursuing a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I think that they will find that their relationship will begin to flourish. I've actually seen couples who have been on the rocks in their marriage who will make that decision to seek God personally, and how that was the healing element to restoring their marriage.
Well, Dwayne, you mentioned being on the rocks, and I think any marriage comes up against some rocks, even healthy marriages. You come up against some of those rocks from time to time. And I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say today about helping us get over those rocks or get off the rocks to survive those rough times.
Well, I think it's important. Not only is it important to have a close walk with Jesus Christ, but there needs to be a strong commitment. And commitment is not just something you made last week and today it's gone. A commitment stands. And commitment is foundational to having a good marriage, to guarding it. Regardless of what will happen to you today or tomorrow or next week or next year, when there's a commitment there, you can weather the storm. It has been known for years that the three top causes of divorce in America or in marriages are the breakdown of communication, sexual frustration, and financial problems. And I think sexual frustration and financial problems all could be connected to communication. So we might be able to distill it down and say, if we could really work on helping couples develop their communication skills, their marriages will develop a protection and they'll be guarded to continue to grow and stay together.
The best marriages are not the ones without problems. They are, rather, the ones where the problems are being worked out. Here's Pastor Pottinger with his message, Guarding Your Marriage.
You know, all marriages, or most marriages, start well. It's the living together day after day that often becomes the challenge. I want to talk today about how do we get through those challenges? How do we understand our roles and responsibilities? How do we guard and protect our marriages and make them God-honoring? The only way to guard your marriage is to grow your marriage. Martin Luther said, "There is no more friendly, charming relationship, communion, or company than a good marriage." How does a good marriage happen? What shapes a good marriage?
If you had some new pieces of equipment, where would you look to find out how that is supposed to work? I would suggest to you that you would probably go to the owner's manual, wouldn't you? On that new piece of equipment or that tool? The owner's manual for our marriages is God's Word. And today we're going to look at that. But let me first pose the question, what is shaping your marriage? What is shaping your marriage? I would submit for your consideration four primary things that are shaping our marriages today. One is our culture. That is the pattern of human behavior and the beliefs that we find within this area. If we'd move to another part of the country, there would be a different set of beliefs in which we would operate. If we'd move to Central America and live in the jungles, we would operate on those things that are happening in the community, that culture of those tribes. Or of the villagers in Africa who live in the huts. It would be those things that would shape us in our marriages. A second thing that shapes your marriage is your personal or your friends' capabilities. The capabilities, the abilities, the attributes, the personality that you bring into your relationships begins to shape your marriage. You can be people who are educated, who are doctors, who are educators. Or you can be people who are content to live in a farming community and work more at a mechanical level or supporting level. But your capabilities shapes your marriage. A third shaping tool, a better tool than the previous two, is Christians, those who profess belief in Jesus Christ. They're better than the world's models, and they are often close around us because we stay with them in churches and often get together, whether it's in small groups or in our homes. But we can get in trouble when we begin to measure our marriages against others around us. Now, sometimes it can be an encouragement. Sometimes it can build us up. But sometimes the status quo is not the biblical model. And so the fourth shaping tool is the Word, or the commandments of God's Word. His requirements, His directives on His children. So we see culture, capabilities, Christians, and God's commandments. Out of those four, I want to remind you and draw your attention today to recognize that God's Word and His commandments are the owner's manual, and it is our guidebook. It should be our primary shaping tool. Now let's look at finding and fulfilling our marriage roles. I invite you to turn your Bibles first to Genesis chapter 2. We're going to look at a husband's role, and we're going to look at the wife's role. The Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them, and whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all of the livestock, the birds of the air, and the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib that he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." Now we see, first of all, in this place, but for Adam, no suitable helpmeet or helper was found for him. You need to remember that phrase. Now let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to consider this issue of role and responsibility. We pick it up in Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Now let's take a look here this morning, first of all, at the husband's role. We find in these scripture passages that the husband's role is to be the head of the wife. That is to be the leader. The husband is to be the servant leader of his wife and of his marriage. The husband is to love his wife. Secondly, the husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. The husband is to affirm, he's to encourage, he's to build, he's to care for his wife. Because why? That's what Jesus does for the church. Man's headship is not dependent on the husband or the wife's culture. It's not dependent on their capabilities or their conduct or their character. It's dependent on what God's word says. The issue of headship for man being the head begins at marriage. The moment you marry, at that moment, he becomes the head of that home. Man is not the head of all women, nor should women submit to all men. Are you with me? God delegates the authority of the marriage to the husband, and then the wife is to work in conjunction with that. Peter said to husbands in 1 Peter 3:7, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Now, we've identified here that the husband's role is to be the head, servant leader of the marriage. The wife's role is to submit, to be the helper, the supporter, the encourager of her husband. Every married man knows, if he would admit it, that if he didn't have his wife, he'd fall apart. There is a statement that you've probably heard before. It goes like this: behind every great man, there is a greater woman. Now, I had just typed that into my computer as I was writing this message, and Rhonda stopped by the office. And she came in to check with me about something. And she goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm writing my sermon. She read what I had just typed in. She goes, you're doing just fine. Keep on. But when I stop and think about it, guys, stop and think about it with me. Wives, they do about everything you can think of. They buy groceries, they prepare meals, they do dishes, they wash clothes, they fold the laundry, they return it to its place, they clean the home, they bake, they take care of the children, they bathe them, they clothe them, they take them to their events. We could go on and on. They go shopping for the needs of the family. They find deals. What don't they do? Now, Eve was equal to Adam in her importance, but her role was different. Her unique role was nurturer, supporter, encourager, cheerleader, comforter. Something that no one else can do. Now, these roles that we have been defining, primarily the men being the head, the leader, the servant, and the woman being the helpmeet, the supporter, the encourager, these primary roles, when they function properly, they lead to freedom. Let's make some conclusions then about our roles. The conclusion is that God created woman to be a helpmeet, a suitable helpmeet for man, and that God created man to be the head, servant leader of the woman. Let's talk about our responsibilities here for a little bit. Try to wrap this up. Understanding your responsibilities. Men, we saw very clearly in Ephesians, there is a four-letter word, and it's not a bad four-letter word. That four-letter word is, we are to what? Love our wife. How are we to do that? We are to love by choice. It's a decision based on the command of God. We are to love continually. It's ongoing, just as God loves us. You don't wake up someday and you know, God doesn't love you that day. He loves you all the time. That's the way we're supposed to love our spouse. It's to be active and consistent, which is the next one. Love actively. Demonstrate that. You know, it's not like, well, I told you I loved you when we got married. It's, you know, if I change my mind, I'll let you know. No, we need to love actively. I don't know why God made women that way, but they need to be told regularly, you know, monthly. Okay, weekly. Okay, I see some of these women shaking their hands. Okay, daily. And probably some of you several times a day. Well, for that to happen, we have to go to the next one. We need to love sacrificially. Because that's what Jesus did. He loved sacrificially. Five, we need to love positively. You know, you can't be ugly and say you're loving your wife when you give her that gift or give her a hug. Yeah, I love you. No, that doesn't get it. Colossians, Paul said in Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. One more, we are to love completely. Love completely. That means with all that we are, our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we are to give ourselves away, abandon ourselves in love to our wives. What is the wife's responsibility? Well, we saw that very clearly in Ephesians 2. The wife is supposed to submit to her husband as unto the Lord. Whew. These are pretty tall challenges, whether you're male or female. Now, again, I remind you, this submission is not to all men. It is only to your husband. It doesn't say submit to all men. It says submit to your husband as unto the Lord. A wife is to submit by choice. It's a decision. By the way, submission can only be submission by choice. You see, you could be forced physically, but it's not submission. It's like the little boy who was sitting on the chair in the corner. His mommy made him sit in the corner, and he was saying, I might be sitting on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. You see? So it's a submission by choice. Wives are to submit continually. Not yesterday, not back when you got married, but today, and this minute, and the minutes that are coming, and the tomorrows. Continually. We are to submit, wives, so wives, submit as to the Lord. Now, I want to just pause here and say, is this an option for us to consider as men to love our wives? And wives, is it an option for you to consider whether to submit to your husband? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is, it's not an option. It's a command. God's word says it. Submit in everything, because it says submit to your husband as unto the Lord. What things, I ask you, what things could we keep from submitting to the Lord? Nothing. That means submit in everything. And five, wives, you are to submit voluntarily. See, submission is yielded. It's not taken. I want to make a note, a comment on this submission. Wives, this submission to your husband is in the boundaries or the parameters of the owner's guide. There is no call for you to submit to anything that is sin or to break God's commands. That means, wives, if your husband tells you to steal or cheat or lie or deceive or to do things that are contrary to God's word, you are not responsible to submit to that leader. Your higher leadership is God. But in all other scenarios, as long as it's biblical, your role as a wife is to submit to your husband. And the role of the husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. I honestly think, maybe it's because I'm a male, I think the harder role is to love as Christ loved. And the exciting thing is when a man does begin to love as Christ loved, it just begins to flow together. Well, here's some conclusions about responsibilities. The husband is to love his wife unconditionally, and the wife is to submit to her husband as to the Lord. Now let's just review this concept of both guarding our marriage and understanding your commitment. You see, when you made your commitment, there were several things that you said. It may have not been these exact words, but these were the essence or the basic things you said. You made a pledge or you made a promise that you would cherish and live with your spouse according to God's ordinance. You said you would be loyal, you would love, you would honor, you would comfort, you would keep in health or sickness, in riches or poverty or adversity, whatever may come, you promised you would stay together. You would keep yourself just for your spouse as long as you both would live. Now, when the pastor or the priest or the clergy walked you through those vows of commitment, you answered that by saying, I will or I do. Here's some practical guides. Learn to speak softly. Talk until there is a good understanding. I mean, communicate, communicate, communicate. You see, often talking isn't always communicating. Make sure there's understanding. Be slow to anger and quick to forgive. There was a story in the book entitled On This Day by Carl Windsor. It was a page about Valentine's Day. And he tells a story about a couple who, they were old in years, and the grandmother was celebrating, they were celebrating their golden anniversary. She told the secret of how her marriage had lasted so long and how it was happy. She said, on my wedding day, I decided to make a list of 10 of my husband's faults, which for the sake of our marriage, I would overlook for the rest of my life. I'd just forgive him and forget him. And so the friend was curious and said, what were those 10 things that you wrote down that you've been willing to forgive all your life? And she looked back, the grandmother looked back and said, you know, I never did write them down. I've just actually forgotten what they are. And she said, every time he did something that upset me, I would say, lucky for him, that's one of those 10. That's what we need to do. A good marriage, Ruth Bell Graham said, a good marriage is the union of two forgivers.
They say that men are from Mars and women are from Venus. Fortunately, God lives on both planets, and He's available to help us lovingly coexist right here on planet Earth. Husbands and wives not merely enjoying their respective differences, but celebrating them. Here's Don and Dwayne with a few final thoughts.
Dwayne, one of the things that's come through fairly clearly in your lesson today is that communication is key to marriage relationships.
That's absolutely true, Don. Unfortunately, a lot of couples talk. They might even shout or yell at each other, but they're not communicating. Couples need to learn how to really sit down and at a calm level or calm tone, be able to communicate their deep thoughts and feelings. And unfortunately, we don't have good models to do that. All of the things we're seeing in television and movies is not modeling that for us. Unfortunately, individuals are growing up in homes where that's not seen from their parents. And so we take these patterns that we learn from our families or from the modern media, and we take that into marriage. It's difficult, but couples need to be taught and they need to learn how, not just to talk to each other, but to communicate their thoughts and feelings.
But Dwayne, what about so often it seems that you get people that, and I know I've been guilty of this myself, you know, she's not going to talk to me, well, I'm not going to talk to her then. You know, and you start kind of taking sides, keeping score almost. How do you step out of that?
Well, it's really an attitude of the heart. I think part of the first step would be becoming aware of the problem. And so you can begin to address it and then hope there's enough maturity in the individuals to realize the first step they need to take. Unfortunately, again, there is a lot of scorekeeping in marriages. You know, I did that and so I'm not going to do that. It's your turn. I said that and so if you can't take it, well, and somehow we need to become servants of each other. And it really goes back to Ephesians 5:20, where it says we are to submit to one another out of fear and love for God. Wouldn't it be great if we would, as husbands and wives, establish a goal for ourselves to try to see if we could outserve our spouse? It would really remove a lot of the scorekeeping concept and a lot of the judgmental attitude if we would become a servant to our spouse with an attempt to try to outserve them.
Great, Duane. That's great advice. That's a challenge I think we all need to take up. Let me quickly tell our listeners about the exciting things that are happening in Nigeria. We've now been broadcasting in Nigeria for just over a year, and our program there has been so well received. We actually receive more letters from listeners in Nigeria than we do from the whole of Southern Africa. And even though Nigeria has numerous indigenous languages, it seems that there are still many, many people who understand English because we're broadcasting in English there. We've had some people there who have written to us and requested that we begin broadcasting in their indigenous language. We're not to that point yet. I hope in the future we can get there. But Nigeria, really for me, I just see it as such a key country for the continent of Africa. Because if you look at where Nigeria sits, it's right there on the boundary line between the more Christian portion of Africa and the least evangelized portion. Up there in northern Africa, where there are countries that are less than 1% Christian. And Nigeria was actually once known as a missionary graveyard, where so many missionaries had gone there and died from tropical fevers and so forth. And today, I think the exciting thing for me is that I see Nigeria as a missionary birthplace, because I believe that the missionaries that are going to go in and evangelize North Africa are going to come out of Nigeria. There is a hunger in Nigeria, and I believe God is really raising up a missionary force in that country, and he's going to do wonderful things. And the great thing is we can be a part of that through our radio broadcasts, and our listeners who support us, and we rely very heavily on their support. We cannot keep that program going in Nigeria without the financial support of our listeners.
Our radio ministry has the potential to encourage the church in Nigeria, but only if listeners like you help to make it happen. To pledge your prayers or financial support for our broadcasts in Nigeria, call us today toll-free at 1-877-859-5484. And if you'd like a copy of today's lesson, Guarding Your Marriage, call us today and ask for tape or CD number 0322. You can call us toll-free at 1-877-859-5484. Or write to us at The Tide, P.O. Box 399, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, 17201. In Canada, write to us at P.O. Box 2513, Station B, Richmond Hill, Ontario, L4E1A6. And we'll be happy to send you a copy of today's program for a gift of any size. For information about The Tide, or to hear an encore presentation of today's lesson, be sure to visit our website at www.gospeltide.org. Now, some live in it, some learn from it, and some can't escape it. Coming up next week, Letting God Heal Your Past. Until then, I'm Dave Dino. Thanks for tuning in to The Tide, a ministry that's touching hearts on shores worldwide.